the Gator Grapplers Hall of Fame in Punxton, Tallulah, Louisiana, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling with your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, renowned herpetologist, professional reptile rodeo clown, founder of the Great Illinois River Raft Race, and one of the best-loved insurance agents in America, Gregory J. Ringhausen. Also featuring author, inventor, first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, and the legal representative for the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, and also the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, Richard J. Ringhausen. And lastest and leastest, marksman, sculptor, devoted husband and father, a man's man who can cook and eat Brussels sprouts, six-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion, and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, the youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers, and the star of your show, Alan Ringhausen.
Wow, where'd that come from? That was awesome. Man, they just left.
I think a spider crawled out of my headphones.
Did it bite you?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Just tickled me.
Well, that's better.
I'd say it just crawled out of your ear.
I don't think so.
I didn't think about that either, Rick. That's
like
pretty good.
That tonsor boy got that bee in one ear and it came out the other.
He believed that, too.
For a long time.
That's because it's
still
true.
Does.
Well, maybe.
Wow.
We're out in the orchard. That kid was picking apples with us
last night,
and he got a bee, like a yellow jacket, right?
No, nah, it's like a honeybee.
Honeybee in his ear, went in his ear, oof. And was crawling around on his what's the thing?
His brain.
I mean,
your eardrum, your tensor tympani, or whatever.
You would have thought he was possessed by the devil. You should have seen him thrash around on the ground. I guess having a bee walk around on your what'd you call it?
Eardrum.
Your tympanic membrane?
Yeah.
Oh, it must be terrible. I mean, it was hilarious.
It was.
Finally, it just crawled out the other ear.
Yeah, and now it's called break dancing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet it was.
There's that term again.
Break dancing.
Electric Boogaloo. That's Greg's movie he's got to watch. Aren't you making sure you didn't have another spider in your ear?
He's looking. I think it came out the other side. No, it didn't.
Episode number...
What is it, 24?
24.
What is episode 24?
It's called The Cradle Splits.
Cradle
Let's
Splits.
Let's see a picture of that.
Yeah.
Hold it up there.
Who's this helping?
Oh! That looks bad.
Wow.
Describe it for everyone, Al.
All right. Well, you have your opponent on their back, and you take your two legs, and you hook their one leg, and then you take your two arms and you grab their other leg
make
and you start ripping them apart.
It's like make a wish. That's exactly it.
Yeah, there you go.
And it's make a wish in the worst possible spot you can make a wish.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Alligator wrestling is a dangerous sport.
You know, we got a younger brother, two younger brothers.
Yeah.
And Greg's got
two younger brothers.
We've all got two younger brothers.
Yes. But different ones.
Yeah.
Yes.
From
anyway. My mother.
Our youngest brother,
Brad,
is a mail carrier.
You mean that he's mail or that he carries mail?
He carries mail for the United States Postal Service.
And he's mail.
Is he still actually carrying it?
I thought you were going to say he still have an anchor problem.
Well, that was going to go that way, but I thought I'd go clean it up.
He drives a little truck around.
Good for him. I'd love to have one of those little trucks.
Yeah, drives a little truck, and then I think they park, and then they walk around the block, and then they pull up and do it, you know, that kind of
just
thing.
Just like they do here, yeah.
But... I guess he was out on his route.
All right.
And he sees a Amazon truck pull up. You know, the house where he's at delivers mail. And the guy walks over before Brad, you know, Brad's still sitting in his truck. And he puts the Amazon package in the mailbox.
Well, that's a no-no, isn't it? Isn't that a no-no?
That's a no-no. And Brad points it out to him. He says, hey, you can't. Do that. You have to put those packages on the porch. You're not allowed. It's against the law for you to put that in the mailbox. And the guy just kind of looks at him and kind of keeps going. He said, if you leave that in the mailbox, I'm going to remove it and send it back to Amazon as undeliverable. And he said the guy then flips out, comes over, gets in his face, and calls him everything under the sun.
Oh,
at
he
him.
Picked the wrong person
yes,
to do
he
that
did.
With.
How long did that fuse take to light?
And he said the guy starts walking away, and Brad goes over, takes the package out of the mailbox. And the guy's like, I guess can't believe that Brad's still going to do it. And he finally comes over and stops talking, stops yelling, stops saying anything, and puts the package on the porch.
That's the way to be a good boy. Yeah.
Brad outwilled him.
How big a guy was it?
Does it matter?
Sometimes.
It's not the size of the man in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the man.
Yes.
So I'm just curious how that would have played out if the guy had actually laid hand on Brad.
Well,
that would have been a good, UPS against UPS.
He is a postal worker.
And he is insane.
And he has a history of not controlling his
temper.
So I'm going to say it would have gone poorly for the other guy.
Yeah, I'd wager on Brad.
I'd go with that. I've seen him kick a car, man. I've got a lot of respect for him.
So anyway, I just thought that was an interesting story. So then I called and said, "Hey, I got a package being delivered to your house." I told him just leave it in the mailbox. He responded to that with a text as well.
Can you read it?
Yeah, I can actually, if I can find it here. Let me look over my glasses. Oh, that's photos. That's not a text message. Ah, here it is. It says, "That's a violation of postal code 21496.
Oh, there's a clip.
Barney, yes, sir. There was which one. Just scared the bejesus out of me when I read that.
It's a Barney 5, man. Wow.
Barney 5.
If I knew for sure where Brad's mail route was, I'd go take a cat and stuff it in the mailbox.
I'm wondering,
at a time, wait for him.
I got a friend is for UPS. I'm wondering if he's on that route today.
What?
I was just saying. Great. I got a good friend on it that's UPS driver.
I'm still
down
struggling with you've got a friend. I didn't get to
the UPS. That's the only one I got.
So his friend called him and said, "I was delivered a package and this psychotic mailman came and attacked me."
I can't wait to he calls.
I think they would know each other.
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe. I just don't see any good coming out of confronting a mailman for any reason.
Well, no.
Long history there.
First off, they'll stop delivering your mail.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, the term going postal comes to mind when you try to talk to somebody like that.
I was at a political rally back in the days when I was involved
political.
In politics. Yeah. And one of the guys, an old guy, was retired, and he's a hardcore Unionite Democrat back in the day. And he's at the fundraiser, and he comes over to give me a pat on the back about the flyers that I had designed, that we had mailed, a mailer, right? He says, "Those are nice-looking mailers." He says, "But let me tell you something." He says, "Back in the day, we'd get a bundle of those things, and that we're supposed to put them in every mailbox. We'd just stuff them up a culvert."
Whoa. Sounds familiar.
Oh, as a postal worker.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no.
You didn't clarify that he was a postal worker.
Oh, yeah, he was a postal worker. Okay.
That might make the story a little more clear.
It was a mailman like Brad. And they give Brad a bundle of those things. They put one in every mailbox.
I just thought it was leading up to this guy saying that he was going to throw all of your political paraphernalia away.
Well, everybody does that.
Okay. Not a book of matches.
Now, that's true. But, you do a mailer, and go over to the post office in Hardin. They don't deliver mail in Hardin. You got to go get your mail at the mailbox.
In town
at the post office. So you go in the day after you've mailed your mailer out as a
politician.
There's
not a mailman in town.
No.
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 No, you have to go get your mail
at
the post box.
That's the best part of my day is when I walk down and get the mail from the
office.
And
you get to see everybody.
Yeah.
It's like Hooterville.
It is.
Where is the post office in Hardin?
Right next to the fire station.
Yeah, right where the old movie house used to be, next to it. Right across from where the Bank of Calhoun used to be.
When we took our EMT classes, it's right next to that.
Okay.
In any event, you'd go in the day after your mailer, go into the post office. There's like a trash can there.
It's full.
It's full of your flyers. Everyone just takes them, flips them right in the trash.
Right.
90%, 95%
of them go
in the trash.
That's where all mailers go, I think.
I think so. But it's funny, you know, as a politician, you work and work on those, you know, getting the picture just right and getting the wording and everything, you know, and finally you're satisfied with it. It's just going to get tossed.
You should do something like put a crossword puzzle or put something that they keep it for a little bit.
Scratchers.
There you go.
Ooh, nice one. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, one of these flyers is worth $100. Scratch them off and you'll find out.
Be someone sitting there rooting through that trash, going through them all.
Well, I'm saying they wouldn't be in the trash.
Yeah,
right?
You're probably right.
There you go.
They would dig them out of the trash. You're right.
Somebody is getting a terrific political tip right now.
Absolutely.
So what's your topic today, dudes?
Well, I didn't know. I just...
Yeah, I know. Well, I got one.
Well, I was going to tell you a story. I went by today.
Oh, well, I want to hear a story. Let's tell a story.
So I also had a story.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Was the guy a mailman?
No.
If so, tell that part first.
No, go ahead, Greg.
No, I was just going to one of the local stores and has...
My story was about going into a store.
Well, I wasn't going to a store, but what was in outside. And... I was going in, it's got car parts, the store does, and all the good stuff for trucks and small cars. And when I was walking by this one particular truck, it was a truck that you see out of Christmas Vacation in the first scene, that type of truck.
Tires. Oh, where the guy's chasing him?
Yeah, you know, ratty, and tires don't match. And he had part of a railroad tie or a behind the rear wheel. Because the truck was parked on a little bit of an incline. Excuse me.
Oh, and it had no, that was his brake system.
Well, maybe.
Parking brake.
But anyway, the hood was up. He had a bunch of tools around, and he had a guy underneath of it, and he was working on something. And I'm thinking to myself, this is where he works on his vehicle.
In the parking lot.
Could be a redneck if you're.
Well, it's where he broke
your
down.
Your garage. No, it wasn't where he
it's
broke
where he
down.
Got the part.
Because he had already.
Oh,
had
the parts were there.
Yeah.
If he needs another part, you don't have to drive back over and over and over. Just walk
so
in and get it.
You know, I'm thinking.
That's a great plan.
Yeah,
that is a good plan.
But using your repair shop as a parking lot on a
car.
Well,
and the
store.
Other thing is you walk into the store and say, well, I don't have the tool I need to
can I
put
borrow
that
it?
On.
They'll loan it to you.
No, they'll say, I guess I'll just have to leave it here tonight.
That's all I had to do. That's what I was thinking as well. Just saying.
No, we're going to send Rusty out to help you.
Did you help him, or at the very least, did you lean over and look in at the motor while they're doing it?
There was two guys there with no teeth. I didn't want to mess with those guys.
Yeah, did you kick the rail off from underneath the back tire?
I was thinking about that, too.
I didn't say go torment them. You should have helped them.
No, they had it well under control. When one guy's on a truck and one's on the top and they're talking to each other, it's
I guarantee
good.
Either one of those two guys, if you'd had the hood up working on your car, they would have walked over and go, what you got? Guys like that, though, when they see a hood up.
What do you know about guys like that, Rick? What do you know about guys well, like that?
I've prosecuted
them. That's what I was going to say. I knew that's where you were going with that.
I've seen them. You know, I've been around. Man's man.
Man's man.
Worked on car engines. Taking car engines.
Man's man in a prison kind of way, or what?
No, like in Greg's intro.
Oh, okay.
A man's man who can eat
Greg,
Brussels sprouts. And,
Greg kind of way.
And not,
thank you.
Not wince when you bite into him.
I thought that was Allie on the Brussels
that
sprouts.
That is Alan.
Yeah.
I love Brussels sprouts.
Awesome.
You know, I was talking about this just the other day. We had Brussels sprouts at the house. You know, maybe a week ago, and I pointed out to my wife.
Like that's what I was going to say. Do you?
I pointed out to my wife, growing up, I never had a Brussels sprout.
Or a girlfriend.
The entire time.
Go ahead. What were you going to say about Brussels sprouts?
Oh.
What the hell?
Wow.
Nobody.
Got derailed you, didn't it?
Go ahead. You didn't have any Brussels sprouts.
It's because I...
I'm wondering...
call you a prison-dwelling man's man.
I don't know what was going on in that house when you were growing up. But wow.
But we didn't have any Brussels sprouts.
No girlfriends either, evidently.
No, none of us.
Possibly, if we had had Brussels sprouts, that could have been the thing right. that propelled us into a life of
propelled,
women.
You said the right word.
What's your Brussels sprout story? Sarah, growing up, well, I never had Brussels sprouts. We were too poor.
No, I'm just saying I never had Brussels sprouts. I never had any kind of steamed vegetable. Did we ever have a steamed vegetable as a child?
I would suggest tomatoes, corn,
potatoes,
peas.
They have vegetable?
Steamed. A steamed vegetable.
Like spinach or collard greens or broccoli, cauliflower.
Like, Mom didn't do a lot of steaming.
We didn't have that either.
Well.
Right? Broccoli, cauliflower.
Not vegetables anyway.
Brussels sprouts. Nope.
You fried it in lard.
What was your story again, Greg?
What does it matter? Right now, I forgot.
So you told your wife that you never had Brussels sprouts growing up. I mean, is there more of a point to this story than that? Or
no, but we don't talk much. I'm just trying to make conversation between she and I don't know. Okay, here's the story I wanted to tell. I wanted to tell the story of the Pompeii tourist guide.
The
tour guide of Pompeii. We went to Pompeii.
That town in
Italy.
Italian.
Okay, what was this building up to going to Pompeii? We got driven around the city of London. We got driven around the city of Paris. We got driven around the city of Rome. And there is not a straight street in any of them. I mean, it's just little jags going off. It's like a maze all over the place. And the drivers jerk you around the car to just... But when you get to Pompeii, they dug this city up that's been buried for 2,000 years, and it's got the straightest streets left and right. I mean, it's just perfect grid. It's like a checkerboard.
Good.
It's amazing.
And they lost that art after the volcano.
Somewhere after that volcano went off, it just sent the European continent into confusion.
When it came to city planning.
It was the barbaric horde had no sense of straight lines or something. I don't know.
Barbaric.
Anyway.
So if you go to Pompeii, it's a city of, what'd they say, about 15,000 people?
About 15,000 people.
Big city.
It was.
Yeah. But the remains of it are
all
there.
If they keep digging, it might be a 20,000 people town.
but it is a tourist attraction.
Oh, well, I'm sure it is. Fantastic.
Yeah.
And
so you walk the streets down there?
And there must be 100 tour guides going on at the same time. And they all pick like different buildings and houses that they go to so that they're not all on top of each other.
Yeah, pretty much. But we had this guy. You sign up for this tour and you meet him at the gates. And
you ask him, can you speak English? Oh, yeah, good English.
Well, actually, that guy did speak pretty good English. And actually, he wasn't Italian.
He was French.
He was French with Spanish influences.
Well, that'd been good to understand.
But he was an archaeologist, so he knew what he was talking about. He was knowledgeable, and he talked fast, and he was, really giving
us... sweat. Did you ever see a guy sweat as much as that guy?
He was sweating bad.
Oh.
I think that he wasn't feeling well. Anyway, he's going along, we're with a group of maybe 20 people that's following this guy around, and he's talking fast and moving along pretty good. And then he would go a little ways, and they'd stop and talk. Go a little ways, stop and talk. Anyway, at one of these stops, he sneezed.
Oh, boy.
And when he sneezed, he blew this bulbous wad of snot.
Like a caterpillar without hair.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But the tour guide was bearded and had a bushy mustache.
Man. It didn't drop.
And there it hung.
Oh,
and he didn't know
man.
It.
He didn't know
it.
I mean, I would think it would be weighing his face down. It was so huge, and it was swinging. And it was just disgusting, but it was also hypnotic.
you could not. You couldn't look away, Greg.
He'd swing his head to the right, and everybody would just follow that.
And you'd wonder,
snot.
Okay, is it going to fly off
let
onto
me
the
ask
air?
This question.
Is it going to stretch out, like...
No one told him he had this?
Well, we were all watching it. I just couldn't believe that he couldn't tell it's there.
Oh.
And what you're really wondering is at some point he just going to go...
suck it back in.
Draw it back.
Save it for the next tour. It's just something that he does. But finally, some woman hands him a Kleenex, a tissue.
And he wipes his brow with it.
And he looks at that like...
Never seen one of them before.
What's this for? And we're all kind of going, rubbing your
face and under your nose. You got a big glob of snot hanging from your nose, man.
Anyway, Rick and I bailed right after.
Man.
I couldn't take it anymore.
No, I was.
Plus, the other thing is, we had this map of Pompeii, and it's huge. I mean, it's a big, big town. And at the rate this guy was taking us through Pompeii,
it had been 3 days.
Volcano was going to erupt again.
We were never going to get there.
Uh-oh. Got to go home?
Yeah, I got to go clean the house.
Gotcha. Vacuum's a humming.
Any event.
Anyway, we split off, and we went and did our own thing. And I guess he sneezed on Rick's wife and made her sick.
Yeah, she came away with the flu.
She's got Pompeii flu.
Yeah, it wasn't COVID, but she got sick. She blames that guy.
Well, I can imagine. I would. Yeah.
I would.
That was open air.
I was getting sick looking at him.
Can't believe anything, but I didn't say anything. I thought the lady with the tissue would give him a hint.
Did you say tissue?
Yes.
Oh.
It was the biggest explosion of ooze since Vesuvius.
On the edge of this city, there's like a stadium.
It's okay. Like a miniature version of the Colosseum.
Okay.
And, you know.
When I say miniature, it's probably hold 10,000 people.
The volcano erupted.
About the size of Pompeii.
Volcano erupted like with the force of an atom bomb, and it blew all the walls and pillars and everything over. That's what happened. And then they got covered with ash. But that stadium was round, so it didn't get knocked apart. It was intact, pristine. I mean, it was like the way it was the day the volcano erupted.
Very good.
And they let you go tromp around in it. This tour guide wasn't taking us there.
No, I wasn't even going to take us there. Rick and I had to go find it.
Oh, really?
It's the coolest thing there.
It is by far the coolest thing there.
With your map, you two took off and left the girls behind and off you just had a good time.
Well, we left Sue. She was in the capable hands of a tour guide. of a French-Spanish... He had the French-Spanish flu.
That's right.
Spanish flu.
But this stadium, when you go in it, it's just like you've walked out in the middle of the Colosseum, and you're ready to be eaten by lions.
Yeah.
So you're down on the floor?
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
And in the middle of it.
You can go anywhere you wanted there in Pompeii. You
know, kind of looking around. Alan looks over and on the ground by my foot, give a kick. There's a iron ring that's like 2,000 years old. It's set in concrete in the middle of this, that the only possible explanation is that you got chained to that ring.
You knew something not good was going to happen.
And Rick and I are standing there, a couple of Christians waiting for the lions to be released.
Here they
come. They're chain you to a ring. You look at that and go, it wasn't a reproduction or anything. It was a real thing. At some point, there were humans chained to that ring that got eaten by lions.
Or they chained, you know, like...
Chained
two,
the lion.
Or they chained two brothers to it and gave them each a sword and said, one of you gets released.
Well, that too.
So, out of the three brothers, Rick, who you choose?
But...
You know who they said they went through the most of? I know, Rick's saying that, you know, they had Christians, they had animals, but they said their biggest competitors in the arenas were prisoners.
Really?
Yeah, they're, you know, expendable.
So you're going to get killed anyway.
Or you're going to die anyway.
It's not like, you know, they want to, you know, keep prisoners housed and have to feed them and all this stuff.
Good way to get rid of
them. There was a lot of execution prisoners.
Entertainment value. Yeah.
And they give them the option, say, here's the deal. We're taking everybody out and we're going to crucify you all this afternoon. Or.
You can go to the arena. If you win, you're free.
Well, I don't know.
If you win 10 fights, you're free.
But it's more along the lines that you win, you get another day and you get to live to fight tomorrow. Until the Larry Clunk of the world shows up.
And we'll give you a pork sandwich.
Even better yet.
No, we got a commercial.
All right.
Let's give one to Greg.
I knew that was coming.
There, Gregory. Read that.
Well, you got all these big words on here, too.
No, it's not bad.
Big Pig Records is proud to release the final studio recording of the 1980s premier punk rock band, Larry and the Clunks. We know what you're thinking. The iconic band's latest studio recordings were done back in 1982? Well, against all odds, a demo cassette recording of Pigs Have No Dreams, a previously unreleased and unheard soon-to-be classic, was discovered in a box of empty red and white blue beer cans in the garage of drummer Larry the Moose Klunk. When it was found, the unanimous consensus of every sound engineer who heard it was that the quality was reprehensible. I think I said that right. The sound quality, that is, the searching vocals of the singers were buried beneath an impenetrable wall of drums and badly tuned electric guitars. It was hopeless. The world would never experience the blood-tingling sensation of a new rock anthem.
New rock anthem? Got it, man.
Fast forward 25 years to the age of artificial intelligence, electronic sound engineering, and techno nerds. Suddenly, all that has changed. The original tape, as recorded on an RQ711S Panasonic take and tape portable tape recorder. That tape, loving remastered by Cooter Martin, the third cousin once removed of famous recording engineer George Martin, has now been restored to its original brain-frying volumes. Is this when you guys were trapped in that container and just, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
George Martin, let me see. Larry and the Klunks are back. You can hear every twang, screech, burp, crash, and thump. You think Larry Klunk is right there in the room with you, bashing your head with Zildjian and
Zildjian.
I don't know what the hell that is. Top flight maple drumsticks. So hurry down to your local record store and order your very own copy of Larry and the Klunks' last studio release, Pigs Have No Dreams. Be the first on the or the last to get the rock on. I don't know. I'll screw that up.
Pigs Have No Dreams the first album?
That was the last recording.
Last album. Because I thought one before that was Bitchin' and Screamin'.
It was Bitchin' and Screamin'.
So how many albums you guys record?
One.
That was it?
Uh-huh.
Pigs Have No Dreams?
No.
Bitching and Screaming?
Record Pigs Have No Dreams.
That's right. It's the long lost album.
Oh, I saw that. Okay. I read that, I guess.
That has now been found.
Too busy trying to say words. Wow. Thanks, Rick.
Beatles got nothing on us, yeah. Larry and the Klunks.
That is true. I was good. I had a list of words that are commonly mispronounced.
Well, there's two or three in there, buddy.
But I think I'm going to just take Greg's commercial that he wrote.
Let me see what. Give me that commercial back.
What did you have? Impenetrable.
Impenetrable.
Incomprehensible.
Rehensible. I got rehensible. But the drumstick.
Zildjian.
No, that was the symbol.
Oh, it's
yeah, but they made drumsticks too. Okay.
Zildjian made drumsticks.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
What was the other one?
Top Flight's a golf ball, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Well, I just couldn't think of anything else at the time.
There may be discrepancies in the copy.
Rehensible was one I didn't
Reprehensible.
Get. Reprehensible. I didn't get the pre in there. That's right. Reprehensible.
That everybody that listened to the tape said it was reprehensible.
There you go.
That makes more sense.
We heard that a lot.
Red, white, and blue beer cans.
Red, white, and blue.
Yeah, don't you remember Pabst. Red, white, and
Pabst.
Blue
well,
beer?
Yeah, red, white, and blue beer. You guys drink that?
It was the cheapest beer in the store.
Well, I had a thing when it was college called Germinade. It was a red, a green, and black can.
What was it called?
Germinade. It's 99 cents a six pack.
Germinade.
Wow. It was a red and or black and green can. Germinade.
Germinade.
Wow. That was nasty stuff. No, you know.
Now, there for a while, they were putting out generic beer. Remember when generic products
we'd go in the store and it would just say cornflakes. Right. It'd be a white box
with black lettering.
With black block lettering.
You could get beer like that. It just said, the only thing it said on the can was beer.
Like Archie Bunker would drink it.
Exactly.
All the family.
Yeah.
Hey, just give me a beer. And she'd bring him a can.
Whatever happened to generic
beer.
Products?
They're there.
They're all bearing the Walmart brand.
Yes. Now. What is that? Yeah. Whatever the name of that is.
What is it? Good. Always good?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
There is a generic brand, though, for Walmart.
I think every Target has theirs. And
yeah, and they found out that just having a white can that says beer didn't cut it.
Not too good.
So they came up with a company name for all their products. Like Good
Great
Day,
Value.
Good Day Beer.
Great Value. Great Value. Value. There beer. It is. Yeah. That's it. All right. But, I mean, it wasn't just a Walmart thing. It was any store.
Oh, yeah.
You get generic things. And it's a thing of the past now,
I think. Yes, it is.
We live in great times.
Yeah. Yes, we do.
Well, what it really proved is that advertising and flashy coloring pays off.
Oh, yeah.
Like this bag of donuts sitting in front of me.
Man, I'm going to grab those.
Blue, it's got donuts on it. It's got Little Debbie on it.
Let me tell you what. If you had that bag and it was just a white bag and it said little chocolate donuts on it, you'd eat them anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but if they were sitting right next to the colorful one, I'd take the colorful one.
Well, that's true.
Absolutely.
Until they're gone. You know,
if it's generic or it says Little Debbie's, well, I can't risk it. Okay. I got to go with Little Debbie.
You're back in college, and you bring in a bag of generic donuts and leave them on the counter in your dorm room.
Absolutely gone.
You're going to come back from class, and those donuts are
gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, here's something. If I came in and set a bag of donuts on the counter and then walked in the other room and came back in, I would not eat one.
Why?
Because the other people that live there would have done something to the donuts.
Oh, you mean in college?
Yeah, I thought you meant
you and Sarah.
Well, that probably would happen too. I'm just
when
saying.
I came back, there wouldn't be any donuts. Are you okay, Rick? You take your meds today?
He looks a little tired. Been writing commercials today.
We're just worried about you. Okay, we're out of time.
Yes, I thought we were getting close. Thank God. Close this one out.
See you later from Greg Gator.
Rick Gator.
Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestler has been brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for our cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that legal in hand, see you later from Greg Gator, Rick Gator, and Alligator. This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network. Accept no substitutes. We'll be right back.